Okay. Wow, good morning. We got a full house today. This is really great. Time change really works well, doesn't it? Got an extra hour of sleep. So before we get started, let's open with a word of prayer. So Father in heaven, we thank you once again, Lord Jesus, for your Holy Spirit. Lord, I just ask that you cause our ears to hear what the Spirit says to us this day. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth again and the meditation of my heart, Lord, be acceptable in your sight. Lord, teach us from your word. Teach us to remember me, you, Lord. God bless your word and anoint it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Most of you know that we have been, for the last couple of months, in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is an interesting book in that Israel had fallen into apostasy for several hundred years. And Nebuchadnezzar, there was an exile where some of the Israelis were taken away. The northern kingdom and their southern kingdom. There was two different kingdoms at this time during Ezekiel. The northern kingdom was exiled to Babylon about 792. They were exiled about 722 to 721 BC. So the northern kingdom got drawn into exile and conquered by the Assyrians at that time. The second one, Daniel was in the first exile. The second exile, which was Babylonian, where Nebuchadnezzar came in, and he took 10,000 of the Israeli top echelon, if you would, the well-educated, the talented people, and he brought them into Babylon. Okay, so Ezekiel was part of that second exile. The third was the decimation, or the southern kingdom, of Judah and Benjamin. Judah and Benjamin were down in the area of Jerusalem. And that's when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple. An interesting thing about destroying the temple at that time is God, the Spirit of God, the glory of God, left the temple out through the east gate. And if you go to Jerusalem today, you will see the east gate is boarded up until the Messiah, the Lord himself, comes through that. That will stay boarded up until God's glory returns to Israel. Okay? So that being the case, Ezekiel is basically broken up into three categories. One, chapter 1 through 24 is the judgment of Judah, okay, which is what we're studying right now downstairs. Chapter 25 to 32 is the judgment of other nations. Okay? And then chapters 33 to 38 is the restoration of Israel. God will bring Israel back. So we got to reading through this, and Ezekiel, the first thing when God calls someone into the ministry, he prepares us. He doesn't prepare, like Bill says, he doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Okay? All of us have a ministry. All of us are called by God into some type of ministry, whether it's works, not works, but whether it's giving, whether it's helps, whatever it is. Okay, the Lord has called you and I into a specific ministry. That being the case, Ezekiel was called by God, and God strengthened Ezekiel prior to him being asked to go into Babylon and do these crazy things. He had to lie on his side for 430 days. Think about that. Lie on your left side for 430 days total. Okay, I can't even do that overnight. Okay, it's either left side, right side, back side, front side. So that being the case, Ezekiel had to do that for 430 days. And it was a lesson that God was trying to show Israel of their apostasy, how long they were fallen. Okay? So the next thing Ezekiel had to do, he had to go into the sign of a tile. In other words, he had to build a little fort, if you would. And I don't know how many of you guys, when you were your kids, built this little fort, and you had your bad guys and good guys, your army guys, your cowboys and Indians of my days, and stuff like that. But you build these little forts, and then, you do these mock battles. Well, Ezekiel had to do that, and he had to put an iron plate between. He built a template here, or a tablet, with Jerusalem on there. And he put an iron plate between Jerusalem, and he put barriers, if you would, against Jerusalem. Okay, it's God's way of saying this is what's going to happen. So as we progress through Ezekiel, the things that God asked him to do, it kind of broke my heart. Why was God so angry with Israel? Why was he so angry and upset with Judah? What happened? What took place? Something transpired, but from the time of Abraham, from the time of Abraham, God brought Abrahamic covenant. Anyway, God brought Israel out of Egypt, okay? He brought them out of Egypt. He brought them through the wilderness. He provided for them. He did all these things. He said, you're going to go into the land of Canaan. I'm going to give you this land. It was a gift, okay? We're going to run through some scriptures today, so I want you to pull out your Bibles, okay? Because we're going to be reading through some chapters today that I will make the point. Because at the end today, we're going to see we have no right to throw stones at Israel because of their apostasy. They fell, they went in the way of Canaan. They went in the way of the Canaan deities, if you would. Canaanite deities, there was 247 gods, if you would. Okay? Those 247 gods were broken up into four tiers. All right? Meaning that, you know, they had the powerful ones and not so powerful ones, and then the middle ones, and then the guys on the bottom street, you know, doing whatever they do. The most prominent ones that we are familiar with is the god Molech. Okay? The god Molech was an iron god, and what he did was he brought prosperity. He brought prosperity to the farmers. Okay? And they would offer, the people of Israel and the Canaanites would offer their children, their babies up on this god. And this god's hands were heated red hot. And they had the drums playing and they had people singing as they're offering up these children. And God, that was disgusting. Wickedness beyond anything. They're offering up their children. And I read one commentator said the reason that they offered up their children, the farmers would come because that they wanted their crops to increase. They wanted to be prosperous. Think about that for a second, okay? They wanted to be prosperous, so they would offer up their children. And in today's world, we're going to get there in a second. We might want to think about that move, okay? So beginning in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, we're going to start with just a kind of little history, okay? Chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. And I'm going to read through this, and I've got the New King James, so your version may be slightly different. And yes, I'll probably mispronounce some words, but praise God, he makes your ears, so let him hear what he wants you to hear, okay? So the Lord's speaking to Israel. He said, now these are the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it, that you might fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, you, your son, your son's son, all the days of thy life, and that your days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that flows with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is uno, one God. Okay? And the Lord, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And you shall teach them diligently unto your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them upon the post of thy house and on the gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which you did not build, houses full of good things, which you did not fill, wells digged, not vineyards, vineyards and olive trees, which you didn't plant, when you shall have eaten and be full. Then beware, key verse, beware lest you forget the Lord which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Okay? Here's what happened. As Israel went through this 400 years, they were right next door to Canaan, and God had told them in the next chapter, he says, when you come into the land, you need to destroy everything. Because the Canaanite religions, the Canaanites had horrible, horrible religious activities. Okay? And they worshiped all these other gods. All right? And Israel, and we do the same thing. We're not throwing them under the bus, because guess what? We are guilty too. We're guilty of worshiping other gods. You say, no, I don't. I don't worship other gods. We do. Worship my job, okay, my health, okay? That sometimes that takes precedent over my, you know, time spent with the Lord, okay? And sometimes I'm guilty. I don't always remember him. When I'm in the business world, I'm doing the business thing. I'm not sitting there praying, Lord, teach me what you want me to know with these people, okay? So the chapter 7, I'm going to jump over to that real quick. God specifically says, verse 1, chapter 7 of Deuteronomy, and when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land where you go to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, Electrolytes, seven nations greater than and mightier than you. Okay? So Israel was not the powerful one. All these other nations were. And these are elements of you know, basically attractions for sin in our lives, okay? So God said, get rid of that. Get rid of that. You don't need that, okay? And I struggle with that. I don't know about you guys, but I struggle with situations where I have to go, okay, Lord, I'll try to get rid of that. He goes, no, you give it to me. That's how you get rid of it. So, okay, verse 2, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before you, you shall smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Verse 3, and neither shall you make marriages with them. Thy daughter shall not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall you deal with them. He shall destroy their altars, break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images. For you are a holy people unto the Lord your God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto him above all people that are on the face of the earth. God chose us. We didn't choose him. He called us. Okay? Jesus says, no man can come to the Father except the Holy Spirit draw him. In other words, the Holy Spirit is the one that ministered to us. That first love, that first time we realized that the Holy Spirit was speaking to our hearts, the first time that God, and I don't know about you guys, but sometimes it's overwhelming when he touches my heart, or any in your heart. It's overwhelming. Down verse 7, so the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. Okay? In other words, we were weak. But because the Lord loved you, because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the land of Pharaoh of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keeps the covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hates him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. If, in other words, for it shall come to pass, if you hearken unto these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep thee unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. Verse 13, and he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. Okay? That was his promise to Israel. And you go on down to the rest of those. He talks about all the blessings that he's going to bring upon Israel. Now, what are the commandments that God asked us to do? Okay, Jesus summed it up. The Lord Jesus summed it up. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? Everything is wrapped up in that. Those are the commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay? I want to fast forward here to chapter 8. And you can read about the graven images and the abominable things in the house in chapter 7 here. In other words, God wanted to get rid of all of that. Chapter 8, verse 1 said, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers." Verse 2, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord God had led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." And I'm going to fast forward to verse 11. "Beware that you forget not the Lord your God." All of this ties into Ezekiel. All of this ties into Israel and the apostasy. All of what God had said was going to happen, happened because of their apostasy. Because they got drawn away into the Canaanite religion. How is it that they got drawn away in the Canaanite religion when a holy God led them by fire by night in the wilderness and a pillar of smoke in the daytime? He got them through the Red Sea. He destroyed the Egyptian armies. How is it that they forgot God? How is it that they wandered off? Because they didn't remember him. They didn't keep him in the daily walk with their lives. They managed to stray away. A little leaveneth, the Bible says, Jesus said, the little leaveneth leavens the whole lump. Just a little bit of sin. And now we're not going to be sin cops. If you're sin cops and you're not, in my opinion, okay, Bill, if you're listening, you have to take it. It's not to be a sin cop. It's not to chase the sin. It's to focus on him. That's the key, is focusing on him. Not my sin, not my faults, not my failures. And my wife will tell you flat out, I stumble. The Lord and I get into these arguments, okay, and they're not funny and pretty, but I stumble. We're none of us have made it yet. But the focus, we need to be on the Lord Jesus. We need to remember him. When we remember him and what he's done for us, what he did for Israel, he does for us daily. He opens doors, he closes doors. Sometimes they're not the kind of doors I want opened or the kind of doors I want closed. But praise God for my bride. She always says, "Yeah, hey, he's got it under control. Don't worry about it, David. You're a good guy. It'll be okay." But God specifically says in verse 11, "Beware that you forget not the Lord your God." In this country, I look around and I see that we're in trouble. We're flat out in trouble. I mean, there's just no two ways about it at all in my mind, okay? Why is that? Because we took God out of our schools. We took him out of our we're taking him out of the Constitution. We're taking him out of the courts, okay? I'm not getting political here. I'm just saying without God, it's death. We did a couple months ago, we did the three-letter word for truth, right? The epitome of truth, okay? The pinnacle of truth. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," okay? And when you have that three-letter word, the first letter is Aleph in that three-letter Hebrew word. Aleph stands for God. And then you've got Meveth next, okay? If you take the word, if you take God out of there, it means death. If you take God out of the word truth, it's death. In other words, we take God of our lives, it means death. Israel forgot the Lord. They didn't forget him completely, but they absorbed. They slowly absorbed. They didn't teach it to their children to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. They didn't teach the Deuteronomy commandments that God had said to Israel to do. They didn't do that, and we don't do it. We can't throw them under the bus, folks, because we are just like them. Okay? We are all made in God's image, and we all have the same flaws, the same nature. Our focus needs to be on him. The remembrance needs to be on him. What happened with Israel happens to us. Happened in this country. It's happening around the world, to be honest with you. There's a science story that you take a pan of water and you put it on the stove and you heat it up and get it to a boil. And you take a frog and you throw him in there. He's out. He's out of there right now, okay? If you take a cold pan of water, put it on the stove, put the frog in there, turn the heat on, do you know that frog will keep adjusting until that water comes to a boil and it dies? That's what sin does to my heart. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I need to focus on the Lord Jesus. I need to focus on His finished work. I need to focus on His provision, His protection, all of that. I don't do it very well, to be perfectly honest with you, but I'm learning. And that's what Israel was doing. So God saw Israel, and they gradually went into the Canaanite religion. They were offering up their children on the god Molech. They were offering up their kids for prosperity. And I ask you, are we in this country, are we offering up our children? Say, no, we're not offering up our kids, really? Okay, mom and dad's working, kids are home. I get it. I'm not saying that that's wrong. Don't. You know, all I'm saying is that think about that. Teach your children, okay, to remember God and all these things. Teach him the remembrance that he says, remember me when you come into all of these things, when all of these things happen. And I can tell you, man, flat out, folks, there's been times in my life when the Lord touched my heart so humbling, because we had nothing. My wife and I had nothing, and my boss said, "You're going on 100% commission." Okay, my house payment at that time was $650. So January 1, I was sweating, just wringing my hands, trying to figure out what we're going to do. Well, guess what? Lo and behold, at the very end of the month, I got a commission check just enough to pay for our house payment. God answers those prayers when we remember him. He promises that. So throwing Israel under the bus because of this, we are just like them. We are just like Israel in a sense. Because we have in Hollywood, man, I can tell you, I read the news and stuff like that, and I just get disgusted. Absolutely get disgusted. I get disgusted with things that are going on. But you see, Israel, I don't think, got disgusted with the Canaanite religions. Okay? They gravitated slowly toward that. And they forgot to teach their children the way of the Lord. They forgot to teach themselves the way of the Lord. They got into a mundane, a humdrum type of worship. Yeah, well, come on, man, we got to take our lamb in there this year. You know, it's at the end of the year, so we need to sacrifice. So they take their lamb in there. They didn't have that heart, that remembrance of the Lord. So I know many Christians that started off, and Paul talks about that. What happened? You started off so good. When you came to the Lord, it was like you were on fire. When you came to the Lord, you were on fire. You're out there with your Bible. You're talking to people about the Lord Jesus. You're sharing the gospel. You're sharing the good news. You're sharing the hope. And that's what's wrong with our teenagers today, folks, I'm sorry, okay, is that they have no hope. Because we have failed as moms and dads, in a sense, of teaching our children about the Lord, okay? So it's a senior moment, folks. Bear with me. So sharing of the Lord with our kids is imperative. It's important. It's extremely important to do that, to pass that on. And that's what God said to do in Deuteronomy to his children. Share it with your sons and your sons' sons to the thousand generations, okay? Because he is the one we need to focus, and he is the one that we need to be remembering, okay, through all of this. So we take our lives. We look at Israel, we look at them, how they gravitated toward the Canaanite religion, Canaanite deities, if you would. And I got to tell you, some of those deities are like, I think there's like 20, they had 427, I think it was, 432 deities. They had four tiers. Think about that. We worship one God. We worship the one God, okay? We worship Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty himself. Colossians says, by him all things are made. Through him all things are made. He is God. Absolutely, and there's no question whatsoever. Okay? So He's the one we... Can you imagine having to please 234? Okay, well, that isn't going to work too well. All right, so God's promise, God's provision, God's protection comes through His Word, through Him. So when we don't remember Him, what happens? What do we do? Okay? Christians that started really well and then burned out. What happens to that? What's going on there? They start fast. Hee-haw, I'm going to take my Bible to church. I'm going to take my Bible everywhere. I'm going to get into Bible studies and everything else. And then all of a sudden we sit there one night and think, you know, I really don't want to go to that Bible study tonight. Okay? And then the next night, the next time Bible study, nah. Okay? Now, Dennis and Pam, you know, they've got a Bible study going. They'll probably have it every Tuesday, whatever. Yeah, we can go next time or whatever. Well, you know what we're doing? We're not remembering the Lord. We're not walking with, okay? Because when you get into the Word of God, I promise you, when you get into the Word of God, you begin to grow closer to Him. Jesus says, God says, if you draw close to me, I will draw close to you. So when we are not in the Word, when we're not in fellowship, when we're not studying His Word, it gives us that, the draw of the world pulls us away. I want to watch Game of the Thrones. Okay. I'm going to watch Survivor. Okay. It pulls us away. It pulls us off track. And guys, you know, we sit here and we think, yeah, I don't watch that stuff anyway. How about my job? David, what are you doing about your job? Would you rather go to Bible study, or you want to stay home and do your reports like you should have done during the week? Yikes. Ouch. That stings a little bit. But those are the facts. So when we walk away from the Lord, it isn't that we're not walking away from the Lord any more than an alcoholic wakes up in the morning when he's fresh and new. Or actually, a person wakes up and goes, you know what? Today I'm going to be an alcoholic. I'm going to turn my life into an alcoholic. No. It's a gradual process. It's a gradual process of the heating of the water with the frog in it. It's a gradual process. So when we begin to stray off, when we begin to lose that sensitivity, when we begin to lose the heart and the Holy Spirit's presence in our minds and our hearts and our daily lives, look in the mirror. Lord, where am I going wrong? What do I need to do? That's what happened to Israel. That's what happens. They got brought into exile, okay? And what's interesting about being brought into exile, when God left it, when they destroyed the temple in Jerusalem and he went out through the east gate, guess where he's at now? He's in Babylon with Ezekiel. So God is through the... He did not abandon Israel. But he wanted Israel to pay attention. Return to where you came from. Return to your first love. Jesus talks about that in the book of Revelation to the church of Ephesus. He says, I have something against you. You know, you started good, but you lost your first love. I want you to think back. I want you to think back maybe recently or maybe years ago when the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart in such a tender, loving, caring, powerful way. And remember Him. Remember where you came from. Remember what He bought for you. Remember what He paid for us. Okay? When they put Him on that cross... I want you to think about this for a second. When they put Him on that cross, it was willful. David, talking to me, that's how much I love you. And they drove that spike through his heels, through his feet. They crossed his feet, and they drove that spike down through there. Think about that. Remember Him. Think about being nailed to the cross for you and for me. But praise God, He died. And He rose on the third day, okay? And the disciples, when they were up in the upper room and they were all up there whining and crying like I do, we all do, when things are not going our way, and He walked through the walls. He said, here I am. You guys have any food here to eat? And they rejoiced exceedingly. They remembered God. And on the road to Damascus, two of the disciples are walking along, and Jesus came out and He started walking along with them, and He asked them, why are you so sad? What's going on? And they said, oh, well, obviously you haven't been around. They crucified the Son of God. They crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, opened their understanding, and they rejoiced. They rejoiced exceedingly. They remembered. All of a sudden, Jesus says, you have no need that any man should teach you. He said, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will teach you all things concerning him. Remembrance. It's remembrance. Okay? And the solution, if we are feeling alienated from the Lord, the solution is get back in his word. The solution is get into fellowship. Because you're going to hear bits and pieces from everyone. The Holy Spirit doesn't just use a person here. Trust me, that's not the case at all. He uses all of you, all of us. He uses everyone that's listening. And he will speak maybe one word. And it brings to your remembrance that time and the fact that God's providing his love, his mercy, his grace, and above all, eternal salvation in him. You have no need to fear. Remember him in all that you do. One of the most interesting parts of God's word is getting old in your back. Just kidding. We're going to, it's kind of a short service today, folks. Sorry about that. In the communion service, we read through Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Everyone does that. And in chapter 11 in Corinthians, it talks about the beginning of verse 23. For I have received of the Lord, he goes through that, you know, which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. I have a question for you. Is there anywhere else in God's word that says that? Or is it just Corinthians? Go to Luke. Go to the Gospel of Luke just briefly. Chapter 22. Verse 14, the Lord himself is celebrating the Passover here with his disciples. Okay? He said, with a desire to eat this Passover with you. In other words, when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks. Take this and divide it among you. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. So the Lord himself actually instituted this. So Paul said, this is what Paul received this from the Lord. Okay? And I want to just read down through there because we are going to take communion here shortly. Verse 24, and when he had gave thanks and broke it, he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. How many times we just pass over those words? Do in remembrance of me. Yes, we need to analyze, we need to look at our hearts before the Lord, before communion. Lord, show me your will. Show me your way. Give me a glimpse of your majesty. Give me a glimpse of your holiness, Lord. Strengthen me. Strengthen my walk with you, Lord. Because that's all that exists. That's all that's important in this world, folks. That's it. And as we get, you know, as I get to the, you know, twilight years of my life, that's becoming more real than it ever has been before. When I was young, I was wild and crazy. King David said, Lord, remember not the sins of my youth. Okay? We're all there. We're all the same. None of us. You know, no one's got it together, folks. Okay? And then, so he says, take it and do this in remembrance of me. And verse 25 says, after the same manner, also he took the cup when he had sipped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. God, once again, not only did he end up saving Israel, and he is going to, he did restore Israel. 1948, Israel became a nation. I want you to think about something. The Jews were dispersed. Israel was dispersed throughout the entire world. How, and so were other nationalities. Armenians, Irish, Italian, French. I mean, they're all dispersed throughout the world. But the one group that stayed together with God was Israel. They still, in their homes, they stayed focused, most for the most part, on the Lord. And he brought them back in 1948. That prophecy has been fulfilled. That's one of the major prophecies in the Old Testament that is absolutely mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling. No nation in the history of the earth has ever, ever formed back into a nation because God had said this is what's going to happen. And it did happen in 1948. And if you want some really crazy numbers, the 430 days that Ezekiel laid on his side, okay, I'll let you guys run that rabbit trail, 430 days that he laid on his side, when you multiply the number of days out for each 430 years, okay, and you extrapolate it out, this is kind of crazy. Depends on if you start it with Nebuchadnezzar or if you start with Hezekiah, but it comes out to May 1948, when the servitude of Israel ended. God said, you're going to go do that. I mean, this stuff is kind of crazy. I mean, it's like, and so I don't want to get into that, but that's a bunny trail you can go to. The other thing I want to close with too, in remembering the Lord, as we come into the Christmas holidays, there's a couple of things that always stood out to me. One of them is the Magi. Okay, how did the Magi know which star to follow? How did they know that? Who told them? They weren't Christians. I mean, they weren't godly people. They were, you know, Magi. When the Babylonian captivity happened, Daniel, he was in the first wave. He was there. And Daniel could, basically, he was a prophet, and he told them and explained to them what to see. And they saw that star. They followed that star. And I'll let you guys chase that bunny trail. But again, remembering God, remembrance. He says, do this in remembrance of me. So as we get into the holiday season, remember him. One of the heartbreaking things, even before the Lord really touched my heart immensely, one of the heartbreaking things I would, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm not throwing anything under the bus here, folks, so forgive me. I would go into these stores, and all I saw was prosperity, Santa Claus, all of this stuff. Where is the Lord Jesus? Where is the one who paid for Dave Conley? Where are we at with him? Remember him. Jesus said, when you're feeling that down and you're out and what have you, get into my word. Get into fellowship. Remember your first love and return unto your first love because he's there waiting. Do not forget the Lord your God. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's close. Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord. I just ask that you continue to work in our hearts, Lord, as we come to your table in remembrance of you, Lord. Lord, I pray with all that's within me, Lord, that we never, ever forget for a nanosecond, Lord, your majesty, your grace, your mercy, Lord, your provision and all the things that you've done, Lord. And Lord, when I stumble and I fall and I doubt, have mercy on me, Lord. As you did with Ezekiel, Lord, the Spirit entered into him when he fell before you after seeing you in all your glory. Father, strengthen us. Strengthen me, Lord. Be with Heidi and Bill, Father. I just ask your anointing upon those children and anointing upon this fellowship, Lord. And I ask that this fellowship, Father, be a beacon, an extremely bright beacon in this community as we remember you all the days remaining of our life. In the precious name of Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.